Since it opened on the London stage in 1982, Noises Off, a farce about performing a farce, has been staged in thousands of venues around the world. But its creator, Michael Frayn, is still bemused by its success. Hello, I'm Fiona Gruber, and I caught up with the celebrated and venerable playwright in London to discuss its enduring appeal. This is a play that keeps on giving, isn't it?
Yes, it's been done a great deal all the way around the world. And I sometimes wonder why. I mean, when I wrote it, I didn't think anyone would ever perform it at all. I'm absolutely astonished when they did, astonished when it succeeded. And then this was back in the 1980s. And people said, oh, well, it would work in England, but it wouldn't work anywhere else because nowhere else in the world have they seen an English sex farce, which is what's being pastiched in the play. But in fact, it seems to work all over the place. Last production I heard of was in Shanghai, and I don't suppose they've ever seen an English sex farce in Shanghai. Perhaps they have, I don't know.
And farces, have you always loved farces?
Yes, I have. I can't remember quite when it started. I saw some Feydeau farces in the 1950s or 60s, I think.
And Feydeau is the father of farce, really, isn't he?
Feydeau is the great French farce writer, yes, from the somewhere around the turn of the century. And the best of them are very funny indeed. And they turn on the idea of adultery and people trying to conceal the fact they're having adulterous relationships. This one is slightly different in that it turns really on the efforts of the actors to keep the show going regardless of what's happening.
So we come into the theatre and it's the night before opening night and the actors are going through a dress rehearsal, but they don't know their lines, and there's all kinds of personal conflict, isn't there? Explain the structure of the play.
Well, as you say, it begins with the dress rehearsal, and everything's late, so it's a kind of dress rehearsal and technical rehearsal combined. They keep having problems and stopping. And then the second act is a couple of months into the tour, and relations between the actors have got rather difficult. And we see the farce backstage, and we see the quarrels and love affairs beginning to make complications in performing the play. And then the last act, we see it later still, at the end of the tour, from the front. We see all the difficulties backstage leaking onto the stage and making it absolutely impossible to play the play as written.
Well, your characters in the play are the sort of acting archetypes that one is familiar with from sitcoms and plays before that. So was that because you were mired in the world of theatre and you just found it irresistible to put these characters on stage because you mixed with them a lot?
I've been very unfair to the actors in the play. The more I've worked with actors in the course of my life, the more I've admired them. They get a very bad press and they're always said to be vain and hysterical and so forth. Well, some of them are, but then so are some tax advisors, so are some lawyers. In general, actors are very cooperative with each other because it's so frightening doing a show that they kind of huddle together and help each other out. So I feel a bit guilty that I've added to this myth that actors of what actors are like, when really I think they're pretty terrific. One thing I should say about Noises Off is that a lot of the success of the play is down to Michael Blakemore, who is in fact Australian and who directed the first version. Michael and I are very old friends, and he has directed the first productions of most of my plays in this country, and he is one of the great directors in the world. A lot of directors make their reputation by trying to destroy the text of the play, trying to impose their personality on it. And Michael doesn't work like that. He tries to do the best he can for the text of the play and make suggestions. And when we did this play, he made a lot of practical suggestions about rewriting it for a start, without which the thing would never have worked. In the days when I wrote it, there were still three-act plays. And it plainly is a three-act play. I mean, it's absolutely based on the idea of three acts. But by that time, no one would do a three-act play. Everything was two acts. So I had to devise a way of running the last two acts together with a kind of front cloth scene, so you didn't have to send the audience out for a second interval.
There's somewhere in the world where they were performing it and they dropped an act and nobody had noticed for years. Was that in Austria or...?
It was in Prague, and I was... I had to keep going to Prague, and there was this quite famous production running in Prague, directed by a wonderful director called Jiří Menzel, who made Closely Observed Trains. And each time I went, I said, it's the play running, I'd like to see it. And they said, no, it's not in the schedule at the moment. About the fifth time I was in Prague, I said, it's still not in the schedule. And they said, well, yes, it is. So I went to see it, and I discovered why they'd been a bit reluctant to let me see it, because they'd cut off the whole of the last act.
Would it make sense?
It made sense. It didn't seem to worry people. I mean, the problem was it was a small theatre and they didn't have a revolve, and they thought it would take so long to turn the set around that it was going to make it impossible. But I think it was a bit cheeky to knock off an act. You're not supposed to alter the text at all, but knock off a complete act without telling anyone is a bit cheeky.
You seem very laid back about that, but you're obviously not in the Samuel Beckett school of playwriting.
Well, I don't think you can be, but the farce, honestly, we hope people are going to do it faithfully. Someone has just done a production in Germany, and they're usually quite straightforward productions, but someone has just done it in Hamburg and decided that it wasn't a comedy at all. It was a moral tract about how all entertainment is a form of pornography. So they'd removed every single laugh from the play. And I was supposed to go out and do a lot of events around this. My German agent rang and said, I think you better not come. So I didn't go. And I'm very pleased to say the director got booed.
Ah, we see, of course, the play is about the egos of directors, isn't it? So he's just taking it to the ultimate conclusion, isn't he?
He certainly was, yes.
You know, you wrote this play originally in the 70s, and then it was a big West End hit in 1982, 35 years ago now. So does it have to be updated from time to time?
Yeah, I wrote many, many versions of this play over the years. A lot of the social circumstances have changed. I mean, in the play, there are no mobile phones, for instance. And directors usually try to do it in, when they revive it now, try to do it in a way which kind of leaves open the question of whether it's in the present or whether it's set back in the 1980s.
So if you had some advice to a director or actors in a version of Noises Off anywhere, what would it be?
Health and safety. please don't get your fingers caught in the door. Please rehearse that fall down the stairs very carefully. I've seen people actually fall down the stairs and gash themselves, and a great pool of blood collect on the stage. And I've seen people hit by flying props and blinded by the blood running down their face. It's like a battlefield out there.
Oh, I should pack them in the theatre if nothing else, just hoping to see an accident. Mike Frayn, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
Noises Off is a Melbourne Theatre Company and Queensland Theatre Company co-production. It's on between July the 8th and August the 12th at Arts Centre Melbourne Playhouse. Book online at mtc.com.au or phone the box office on 03 8688 0800. This podcast is part of the MTC Talk series. To listen to more episodes from the series, visit mtc.com.au/mtctalks or search for MTC Talks in the iTunes Store or on SoundCloud.